Well, hi, my name's Andrew Burridge. I'm originally from Australia, but have been living in the US, working on the US-Mexico border for quite a number of years. And more recently, I've come to the UK and now working predominantly on Europe and Frontex, which I'll be speaking about today. But I do feel slightly a bit of a fraud, especially being first up talking on something that's a little bit newer to me, but I thought this would be a nice chance to get some feedback and hear some of your thoughts, but also to not speak to the typical geography border studies crowd that I usually speak to. So I'll pretty much jump straight in and go through. I realised that my abstract was maybe a little bit grand for a shorter talk, so I'm going to sort of narrow it down a little bit, but if there's anything you'd like me to stop and elaborate on, I'd be more than happy to. Also, I'll assume that most of you are not Frontex experts, but if some of you are, feel free to correct me at any moment. Okay, so on the 24th of October 2010, the government of Greece requested assistance in controlling its common land boundary with Turkey against the rise in irregular migration. The agency responsible for the management of the external borders of the European Union, known as Frontex, responded to this request. And on the 2nd of November 2010, the first ever deployment of a rapid border intervention team, which are known as RABITs, and I didn't make this up, this is how Frontex called them, was sent to the border between Greece and Turkey. So I've been told that I've now become a RABIT expert. This recent deployment of this emergency instrument, what I want to argue, is an important development in border and migration management in the European Union, in which a transnational border patrol operates within the territory of a specific member state, in this case Greece, raising important issues surrounding impacts upon migrants seeking entrance or asylum within the European Union. While this was a unique moment that drew significant attention to the role within of Frontex within Greece, and the situation of migration in this region, I also want to discuss some of the longer history and relationship of the agency, which formed in 2004 with Greece, and as well as its ongoing and future operations. Given the limited time then today and recognising some of the other topics that I've seen on the program, I'm going to narrow down on this specific mission, but hopefully that it will open up some common questions and interests. And particularly focusing on what is at the moment referred to as basically the busiest point of entry into the EU for undocumented or irregular migration of the Greek-Turkish territorial border. This research that I've been conducting then is concerned with the role of Frontex as a supposed solution to the concerns of member states regarding migration to the EU, particularly through Greece, and particularly during times of austerity and economic crisis, operating as a form of solidarity. Importantly, it begins to question the role of emergency measures such as RABITs in managing EU borders and what succeeds these measures when they actually come to an end. What are the longer-term implications, then, of emergency responses such as this? This paper and research, and it's, I'm actually soon to publish this piece, represents fairly initial investigations into these sort of fairly unknown or not yet understood emergency territorial missions. And while I've conducted interviews with Frontex spokespersons, which I'll come back to, as well as the UNHCR attaché to Frontex, policy analysts and so forth, ethnographic fieldwork of the agency remains quite literally impossible at the moment, as Frontex doesn't allow any independent observation of missions. So it is a notable gap in the research, but if anyone has an answer to how to observe an agency that won't even allow its own UNHCR officials to come along, I'd welcome to hear it. So one of the kind of overall themes then is this notion of European or EU solidarity and how this operates in regards to border management. I won't be discussing the situation of detention and asylum today, but obviously this ties in, and I think you'll see some of the obvious links, as well as the Dublin II regulations and the decision not to fulfil that often at the moment for countries deciding not to return asylum seekers to Greece. Nor will I discuss some of the ongoing issues for migrants, obviously, that are occurring in Greece, is particularly in Athens, that we're seeing a lot of quite difficult situations for migrants there. But hopefully we can draw some of these connections, and I'm sure others will come onto this a bit today. Right. So Frontex was established on the 26th of October 2004. And as Sarah Leonard states, and I quote, the establishment of Frontex came as a response to the perceived need for an increasing cooperation amongst EU member states with regard to external border controls. This was due largely to concerns over migration into the EU at the time, particularly following the accession of new member states and hence the shifting outwards of the EU external boundary in 2004. So very brief history there. And here you can see the kind of primary roles of Frontex as they spell out, and these were developed upon the inception of the agency. So although Frontex, which is based in Poland, was established in 2004, it didn't actually begin its operations until October 2005. But it was their emergency maritime operations, which began predominantly in 2006, concerned with halting migration, mostly to the Canary Islands and within the eastern Mediterranean region, that brought the real critical attention to the agency. This is actually a PowerPoint slide I've stolen from one of Frontex's presentations, but it just gives an example of some of the scope of what Frontex does and where they operate, and you'll notice that it's well beyond any conception of what the EU is. And it's between territorial, air, and maritime. So it's a very large scope to the operations. Frontex also has quite a number of third country agreements. And they've recently signed a third country agreement with Turkey. So they are continually expanding in this sense. Recently signed an agreement with Nigeria. So they certainly are present, not only in on paper, but actually in person. They are present well beyond the EU. Okay. So while Frontex has this wide-ranging and ever-developing scope that I've just discussed, one of the longest-running and most intensive involvements it has had has been within Greece, starting predominantly in 2006. Though its operations in the eastern Mediterranean and across the Aegean Islands, as well as presence at airports, at various land border crossings, and its first regional operational office outside of its headquarters in Warsaw, and the operational office is located outside of Athens. Greece has been a staging ground for Frontex operations over the past six or so years. So here I've just tried to detail the most significant operations carried out by Frontex within Greece's territorial and maritime boundaries. But this is by no means comprehensive. Today, as I've mentioned, I want to speak specifically about the first ever rapid intervention deployment by Frontex within the EU, which occurred at a time of obviously significant financial crisis and concern over Greece's capabilities to manage its external borders, as well as its asylum and detention system. This also preceded the events of the Arab Spring by only a matter of weeks, so it really almost coincided. This short-term deployment, however, I want to argue, has much longer implications and ramifications that are starting to play out now and trying to understand. Okay, on to the rabbits. So the inception of newer territorial-based missions and the deployment of this rabbit mechanism presents another critical aspect of Frontex operations, which are expanding constantly and in frequency, furthering the geographical reach of the agency. The recent territorial mission at the Greek-Turkish border, I want to argue, presents a critical moment in the history of Frontex and points towards possible future directions of border management, external borders of the EU. It also demonstrates Greece as somewhat of a laboratory for Frontex operations and where it also seeks to further its foothold within the country. So in 2007, the regulation for Frontex was amended to allow the development of these rabbits. However, it was not until November 2010, as I've mentioned, that the rabbits were first deployed. So it has existed for some time, but it's only just been put into practice. And as the quote here states, the basic idea behind them is to create a mechanism that can allow, in case of urgent and exceptional migratory pressure, rapid deployment of border guards. So this is really the phrase of particular interest here, this notion of what is an urgent and exceptional migratory pressure. The rabbits are comprised of a pool of agents drawn from each of the member states. So Frontex doesn't actually have any of its own agents when it comes to operations. It has to request agents from all the other member states. So depending on what that member state has, it may be police, it may be specific border patrol, it may be something like the Civil Guard from Spain. So, but they're drawing on all of these. And under the rabbit mechanism, it's stated that a member state should accordingly have the possibility of requesting the deployment on its territory to assist its national border guards on a temporary basis. So this is the other thing, it's a temporary measure. And it relies on the request of a member state. So Rabbit Centre intended to provide a short-term assistance for up to 3 months at a time, and during their deployment, however, the responsibility remains for the control and surveillance of the borders with the member state. So Greece technically was still in charge of the mission at the time. Although the deployment of a rabbit relies on the request of a member state, the decision rests with the executive director of Frontex based on this following process. And it has to be made within a matter of days. So this particular mission, from the time of request to the time that agents were on the ground was about 4 to 5 days. So it is significantly rapid. And this is just the basic roles of the rabbit agents. So the rabbit mechanism then, though having existed for several years, represents a new practice within territorial operations of Frontex. Given its recent deployment then at this particular border and the claimed successes of the operation by Frontex, it's necessary to understand how such a mission actually came to take place and in what manner it operated, and then also its impacts, obviously, upon migratory movements into Greece and the wider EU. Okay, so moving on to the operation then. During the second half of 2010, Greek authorities reported a substantial rise in irregular migration across its land border with Turkey, particularly within the Evros region and particularly in the northern area of surrounding Orestiada. It was reported by Frontex that for October 2010, prior to the rabbit mission, around 7,500 irregular migrants were detected at the Greek-Turkish border, and that for the entire year of 2010, a total of 47,500 persons were detected, representing 90% of all irregular migration into the EU. Believing this to be a situation of, quote, urgent and exceptional migratory pressure, Greece made an official request to Frontex for the deployment of a rabbit mission. Initially planned to remain until February, in December 2010 it was announced the mission would then be extended until March, so it actually became a four-month mission, and I'm not quite sure how they were able to extend it for an additional month. There are many reasons why irregular migration had increased in this region, that I definitely don't have time to go into detail today. However, one of the likely reasons behind the reported rise in irregular migration in this specific region is openly discussed by Frontex as being directly attributable to their ongoing maritime operation, Joint Operation Poseidon, which had been taking place in the eastern Mediterranean since 2006. Frontex reported that maritime detections between Greece and Turkey in the first half of 2010 had dropped to 16% of the total of all maritime detections, in contrast to 49% at the same time in 2009. This significant drop in detections was accompanied, however, by a rapid increase in detections on the land border almost simultaneously. In October 2010, the Greek government then came to the recognition that it required increased solidarity from other member states of the EU and subsequently requested for the rabbit mechanism to be deployed. During the deployment of the mission, approximately 200 agents at any one time worked alongside Greek authorities, so it's a significant influx of agents. As Frontex spokesperson Isabella Cooper noted when I interviewed her, the agents were not intended to, quote, replace border control obligations or duties of the member state, but rather their role is to, quote, merely assist and provide an added value. And this is a constant concept that Frontex deploys of adding value, so we can decide whether this is an added value. Following the announcement that the rabbit mission would come to a close, it was then announced in February that it would be succeeded immediately by a permanent joint operation, again encompassing the Greek-Turkish border, as well as the Bulgarian border with Turkey. And on the 4th of March 2011, so one day later, Joint Operation Poseidon land began and actually returned. This was an existing mission that was temporary and came back in a permanent manner. So while the rabbit mechanism can only be implemented on a short-term basis in response to the situation of urgent and exceptional migratory pressure, joint operations are classified as permanent, although it's hard to say what permanent exactly means. There's no time frame, but we would take it as long term. Frontex, however, was clear in stating that there would be little distinction between the two missions, only that the preceding joint operation would be of a longer duration. And so the key term here is on this notion of continuity, having a continuous presence at the border. So given then Frontex's assertion that little, if anything, would change between the two missions, it must be asked what the wider purpose of the rabbit mechanism is beyond its immediate response to this urgent pressure. Are such operations precursors or justifications to the implementation of permanent missions? So this is something that I'm exploring as a way of gaining a foothold, basically, by having these emergency missions. I'll skip through some of this section, but basically Frontex provides its own reports on its missions, so that's the only way you get an outcome, so you have to take their word for it. But they definitely propose this as being a successful operation and an educational experience. They also tried to put forward this growing sense of an EU border patrol, although other less formal reports suggest that the agents didn't get along so well. I also won't go too much into this, but some of you may know that there's also fencing now being built in this region. This was before it began, but apparently it's now almost complete. They've built a 12.5-kilometre fence in this section of border, which you can imagine 12.5 kilometres probably won't do a whole lot to hinder people. And the EU has actually sort of cleaned its hands of this and said we're not providing any funding, but Greece has found funding for this fence. So it's apparently going ahead. Right, so to shift then to some of the outcomes of this mission. In my interview with the Frontex spokesperson, who's the only person that will allow you to interview, I inquired whether any immediate displacement effects have been witnessed following the closure of the rabbit mission, especially given the outcomes of previous maritime operations. And Isabella Cooper stated that at the moment there is no displacement effect elsewhere. We are obviously looking at, and in fact we are already coordinating an operation on the Bulgarian border, but there are no indications of displacement. So it seems slightly contradictory that they're already shifting, but saying there's no shift. Cooper was also quick to assert that the concern was with the modus operandi of the smugglers and that ultimately it was these persons who resulted in the shift of migration paths rather than the actions of Frontex or member states. Cooper also acknowledged that the reported decline in detections of irregular migration since the arrival of the rabbits could be attributed to several other factors. And in the quote here, she mentioned seasonal impacts. And actually, when the rabbit mission was in place, it was the middle of winter and snowing quite heavily. So a decline in crossings is to be expected in December. It happens every year because it's snowing, essentially. This was followed by Frontex's review of the mission that stated that, quote, the intention of the rabbit deployment was to create a deterrent effect. In no uncertain terms, then, it is evident that the key strategy of border management is the use of prevention through deterrence, inevitably leading to ongoing displacement. Recent reports by Frontex, as well as other sources, are now showing a clear displacement effect back to the Aegean, as shown from these quotes in a recent situational update. So we see here a note that it's shifting back to the islands where they were operating only a few years ago. While significant migration following the events in North Africa were predominantly towards Italy and Malta, both the Greek government and Frontex have been monitoring movements into Greece, particularly through Turkey. The key concern at the moment, according to Frontex and the EU, are the visa liberalisation practices of Turkey, allowing persons to enter the country by air and then continue into Greece. Most recently, this is, and not surprisingly, focused upon Syrian refugees. It must be asked, then, what impact Frontex emergency measures have upon those that are seeking that they are seeking to interrupt in their efforts to migrate or seek asylum within the EU, other than to constantly deter and displace migratory movements. Given the inability to independently monitor operations such as the Rabbit mission, even by agencies such as the UNHCR any other human rights agency, it's difficult to truly assess what the impacts upon migrants and migratory patterns are. So just in conclusion then, in reflecting upon the example of the Rabbit mission, I want to make a few just final observations that perhaps will open up some further questions in conversation today regarding the role of migration and border controls in response to the ongoing financial crisis in Greece, as well as the wider EU, in which Greece has requested assistance in its management of its borders, as well as continued migration following the events in North Africa and the Middle East. First, the statements from Frontex show the agency is well aware of its potential role following ongoing austerity measures in member states with external borders to the EU. They certainly see themselves as this is an opportunity in a sense for them to step in when others are not capable. The EU Border Control Agency then is also actively working to prevent those fleeing events such as in Syria from entering into the EU, particularly through the southern states of Italy, Malta and Greece. And the second quote here, this was in the end of 2011, but I think what's interesting is seeing how they have a Frontex has a research wing, what they call a risk analysis, and so they are constantly preparing for possible scenarios. So while the Rabbit mission began before the initial events in Tunisia, it did result from a request by the Greek government for enhanced EU solidarity. Further, it is being preceded by strengthened and now permanent missions such as Joint Operation Poseidon. Frontex can therefore be seen as both an ongoing response and solution to increased migratory pressures, particularly during times of economic crisis. This has also allowed the agency to develop, as I've mentioned, an increasing foothold within regions such as the Greek-Turkish border and Bulgaria. The overall outcome, as Frontex openly acknowledges, is continued displacement of migratory routes through practices of deterrence. The ongoing situation witnessed within Greece's asylum and detention system and the significant number of drownings that were witnessed in the Mediterranean during 2011 and continuing suggests that the solution of Frontex is anything but a positive outcome for those seeking entrance into the EU. In conclusion, I would argue then that there is a need to better understand the use of immigration control measures and border management in response to the current situation in Greece in the wider financial crisis, as well as the fallout from Arab Spring events. And I'll leave it there. So, thanks very much.